Thank you very much, my invisible friend. Well, delighted to be in with you tonight. We are speaking with Vernon Mahabal of palmistryinstitute.com. And say, I just wanted to mention, you could, I'm just doing a little promo here for the Coast to Coast Facebook page. Just go on to that Facebook page and hit us with a like, make a comment, have fun. Let us know what we're doing. Because I'm sort of like Indiana Jones when he sat in the airplane and went, well, how hard can it be? It's, you kind of need to focus. Anyway, we will take some of your calls, and I wanted to mention to you one more time. Now, this was a Google article. You know what I mean? And because of the court's ruling that they have a special relationship with the NSA, for all I know, it could be the NSA putting something in your computer, and it's not infected with anything at all. However, if you want to check it out, it is dcwg.org. dcwg.org, and this is all about the potential for your computer to stop working on July 9th if it is infected with this infection. It's not a virus, it's a computer infection, and the FBI has been propping it up, but that prop is going to come down on, I guess, 11:59 on the 8th of July. So go to dcwg.org and check it out. We'll continue with Vernon and your calls when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Vernon Mahabal, tell me, since we can't see each other here, except that little picture that I sent your way, how can you address things like, well, I want to go back to one other thing. You know, when you said basically what you said a while ago, people will be reading into this who have a biblical interpretation they'd like to make. They might regard this 7-year trial as the tribulation, which precedes a big pop all over the place. So, is there anything in your studies that suggests there is a spiritual warfare that is occurring that is causing this Mars-like cycle to visit us?
You know, that's a very interesting and a wonderful question. Actually, this is for our purification, and I don't mean that in a biblical way. I do believe that there are forces against us who are trying to manipulate the finances and like that. I have read for the reptilian type of people. And that also gave me a lot of insight into what's happening. From a purely psychological reason, I believe, let's say, 4 to 5% of our population, in the world at least, are of what we call reptilians, what the Westerners call reptilians, what the Vedic people call Rakshasa. That exists. And they are envious of human beings because they do not have emotion the way we do. They do not. The very first time I read for someone like this was in England. And I lived in England from the period of 2000 to 2002. And I had an uncle there who got me a lot of readings with people who were very, very well connected. And I remember reading for one person who worked for Barclays Bank. And when I was looking at his hand, one of the most interesting reads I've ever done, because I could see from his hand that this man was sharp. Logically, analytically, this man was calculating. He was one of the sharpest persons I've ever seen in my life. Ruthless would be the word. At the same time, there was no human emotion. There was no human basic empathy. He simply came to me because he was suing another branch of the Barclays Bank. And it was a huge, huge issue. In fact, it had even made the Time magazine, the British Time magazine. He came to me and he paid me my fee. All he wanted to do, he didn't want any questions about self-realization or life purpose or anything. He just wanted to know if he would win the case. And he gave me a lot of money for it. I was with him for 20 minutes at best. The other side of my brain was reading for him, and the other side of my brain was saying, oh, my God, this man has no empathy, no human emotion, not in the same way that our neighbor does. What I realized at that point is that these reptilians, these Rakshasas, they are actually, the reason they are putting us through this is because we have emotion. They are envious of us. They are envious of us because we have emotion. We have the ability for love and affection and that type of thing. So there's a very big part of them that hates us because they are envious of us. And I'm almost certain, seeing people's hands, I see this constantly because I look for this. I was not aware of this at the time, but around 2000, 2001, I started talking to my friends, and I said, you're not going to believe what I just saw. My British friends were telling me, you got to read the books of David Icke. So I did that, and I started to learn about it. And then through the years, I have come into contact with these types of people. What I've come to understand is that, and I truly believe this, that they are going to start fighting with themselves. And there's nothing we can do as human beings, you know, sane, empathetic human beings, to do anything about it. But the point is, John, evil destroys itself. And they are at a certain point going to start fighting with each other. At this point, they're very unified. But they're going to start fighting with each other. And if they do get a war, I guarantee you that that war will be their undoing. And they're going to start fighting with each other, and they're going to start destroying each other. And the reason I'm saying this authoritatively is because I do not see this reptilian, this Rakshasa influence in the next 5 years the way I see it now. Yes, of course, there'll be a few around, but it won't be this giant mechanism that they've enslaved us with. They are going to start fighting with each other. I don't know if they're going to kill each other, but their influence will incredibly wane. And this is because the planets will be starting to go in more auspicious, more beneficial positions, more godly positions. And at the same time, they won't, you know, the planetary aspects for them are over. In other words, their ability to rule and control will be over. Now, the other thing, too, is this is why they're throwing everything out at us, the vaccines, the chemtrails, the this, the that, because one of the calling cards of demons is poison. Throughout history, demons and devils have always used poison, and that's one of the calling cards. But a little bit further is that they have their astrologers, too. They, you know, it's very rare that you're going to meet people in this world that are not in powerful positions, that do not have palmists and astrologers and psychics.
Boy, that's the truth. All it takes is a quick tour of the United Nations lounges, and you'll find that out real quick, full of symbology of all kinds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, John, you know, people were amazed that Ronald Reagan had an astrologer. In fact, he was a very big fan of the occult. But, you know, it wasn't such a big deal with astrologers. It wasn't such a big surprise. We know that every major firm, every major political person, every major CEO retains an astrologer or a palmist or a psychic. And when they do these, you know, Bilderberg meetings and all their, you know, stuff, they're actually comparing notes. This my astrologer told me that. My palmist said this. My psychic said this. They know, John, that their time is up, and that's why they're throwing everything out at us. So my point to, you know, people listening is that we just have to become strong. We have to become optimistic. We have to become positive, and we have to get back that American spirit of never quitting and being that you know, nothing's going to stop me. We have to get back into that. You know, during a Mars period, it's understandable. You get punched a few times, but you got to get up. So as Americans, we've got to get up. Their time is up. I'm convinced about it. I'm not like some New Age Pollyanna, overly optimistic type of person. I'm from New York. I'm completely the opposite. I'm very, very critical, especially of the stuff that goes on in my own business. I'm very cautious and very, very prudent. But and I'm not saying this with just trying to be overly optimistic. I do see that their time is up. Evil destroys itself.
But they're going to make a hell of a mess between now and their defeat.
They have been doing that for the last, 20 years in a very, very big way. You're absolutely
Vernon, people are very concerned about the, riots in the streets, food shortages. Maybe you see any food shortages or anything like that? And if you do, or whether you don't, when the inevitable civil unrest comes, how bad do you think it'll be, and how long do you think it'll last?
The interesting things? I think Americans are going to band together and take care of themselves within their own community. I think that there will be a few law enforcement people in the big cities that will, try their stuff. But, when push comes to shove, you're going to have your sheriffs and your your small towns. They're all going to go home, or what I see, actually, to be very honest with you, I think that Americans are going to band together and they're going to protect each other, and the communities will rise. And this is what I see in the next 5 or 10 years. This is what makes me optimistic. If I'm optimistic about anything, it's because small communities are going to become more and more and more strong. We're going to see provinces of people become strong. We're going to see the influence of the federal government almost completely wane in 10 to 15 years. And we're going to start knowing our neighbor. We're going to start helping our neighbor. The communities, because we're going to become more agrarian-based, communities are going to become stronger. What the New World Order has done is divided us through agribusiness and
on many levels.
On so many levels. We could take a half, 2 hours talking about it. But the point is that, yes, I do see, especially in the big cities, there might be some civil unrest, some of this, some of that. But I do think, as Americans, the thing is that we are a good country. I believe it was 1930 that there was one man who said, and he was French, he said, America is great because it is good. When it ceases to be good, it will no longer be great. Well, I am seeing that this next 3-4 year period is going to not only make us strong, but we're going to become a lot more moral. We're going to become a lot more, we're going to have more character. And I don't just mean this from a Christian or a conservative aspect. I'm saying to you that as Americans, we're going to strength of character, morals, ethics, I'm seeing in the younger generations that they're going to know what is right and what is wrong. The generation that I see, my son's age, he's 12, the generation that when he becomes 30, we're going to see a completely new type of human being in this country. They're going to be a lot. They're going to have strong character. They're not going to have a victim mentality. They're going to be upstanding citizens. And the reason is that I keep seeing in hands over and over and over again is because we as Americans are going to band together and make our communities strong. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to say in 10 years, John, globalism will be dead.
Well, it couldn't happen soon enough for me. The thing about it is there's nothing that'll give you an appreciation for life like a close brush with death. And so maybe there's nothing that'll make you strengthen your character like a really good demonstration of an absence of it from the top down. Maybe that's just what it's going to take to decide, we really did have it pretty well, and yes, we really did screw it up, and yes, there are some steps we can take. Let's just fix this thing. So when the evil emperor shows up, like in that cheesy little movie, Mortal Kombat, and says, you pathetic fools, I've come for your souls. We just say, I don't think so, and resist it. Is that the message? Resist it?
It's basically that. It's just like Gandhi, his whole mood was just ignore. Non-cooperation. The point is that, I'm getting this from hands, but it's also in my daily dealings with people. Americans are good people, and the government has been able to encroach upon us because we're just letting it go. We don't expect our government to be brutally evil, but we're beginning to understand that. But, the thing is, John, when push comes to shove, Americans are not going to take this. And the point is, I do not see. I mean, it scares me, the whole idea of the FEMA camp and the this, that, and but it's not going to happen. You know, Americans are going to stand up to this. This is what a Mars period is about. A Mars period is about, okay, you punched me in the face, I'm going to stand up to this. Now, how Americans do that, that's up, you know, that's going to be seen. But the point is, by 2014, Americans are going to say, enough. That is enough. I've had it. And their communities are going to become strong. Their tribe is going to become strong. And that's the other aspect that I see that I have been seeing this for the last 7 or 8 years, is that there is going to be mass migrations of Americans. And this is interesting to me, because let's just say, you go to school, high school, middle school, and all the classes, I don't mean this on a racial level, but you know, all the classes are integrated. Then when you go to take your lunch, everybody sits with their friends. Now, one of the reasons we're so integrated, and again, I'm not talking about racial stuff. I am talking about we as Americans, we've lived in places because we've worked for a larger company, and we have to live, you know, according to where, you know, they want us to live or where the best jobs are. That's going to change when Americans become more entrepreneurial and they say, I'm going to live where I want to live and start my business where I want to live. And that's what happened 100 years ago. So the thing is that as Americans become individual again and individualized and that very, very hard-driving, freedom-loving American, we are going to see Americans start to move into different parts of the country, places that they want to be, rather than places that they have to work in, you see? And the areas of the country that are going to really, really prosper will be Middle America, especially around Indiana. They can say, okay, well, Detroit is dying. It certainly is dying because it's a dead city. But that doesn't mean but the point is that people are going to take over these areas of the dying cities and make them into, organic farms, small organic farms. I keep seeing this over and over. Families are going to have their own farms. We're going to go back to that. And so people are going to start to live where they want to live. I think the American Southwest, unfortunately, where I live in L.A., it's going to suffer. But the more east I go across the Rockies, I actually see mass migrations of people. Some, of course, will go all over the place. I mean, in other words, people will go where they're more comfortable and happy rather than where they're going to go because they have a job there. You see?
Let's just hope that internet doesn't go down. I mean, I guess they'll localize and just do it there. Does that mean that they'll got to make your answer kind of quick because we're up on a hard break? But
technology won't be around, but not with the cut and thrust that it has right now. It's not going to go away. It's going to be used for different purposes.
So there may be a change of career in the future for some people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm seeing a change of career all across the board. All across the board.
Well, it sounds good to me. I'll tell you what, change is it. It's the most exciting thing. And without some struggle and some risk, where's the fun there? We'll be back with our guest tonight, Vernon Mahabal, the most unusual palmist I've ever even heard of, let alone spoken with. This is Coast to Coast AM. An enjoyable conversation with Vernon Mahabal of Palmistry. It is sort of a ministry. It's palmistryinstitute.com. Palmistry. And we'll carry on with that. Welcome back to Coast AM and Vernon Mahabal. Say, you may recall this movie called Downfall about the last days of Hitler in his bunker, as told as a true story, if I represented in a film, the story of told by his personal secretary, Traudl. And in it, some Obersturmführer or something, some guy in a German army uniform came in and said, you know, my Führer, we're having problems here. And that leader just said, well, feed them fish heads because it doesn't matter. You know, this is the mandate we were given, and if it doesn't work out for them, well, too bad. I don't care. And the soldier said, well, what about the old people and the wounded and the children? And he was like, you know, get out of here. So the point is, what about as our society shifts into a more agrarian society, as we started off to be, what about the old people and the children? And worse, I mean, maybe the grandchildren would be okay, a listener pointed out, but our children are probably going to have a little bit of a tough row to hoe, as they say, in this Mars-like atmosphere.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that what makes a strong society, other than its spirituality, is its family. And these reptilians, these Rakshasas, have understood this basic principle that if you can destroy the family, you can completely uproot and dismantle the structure of a society. And when you can dismantle it by drugs and pushing drugs, pushing illicit sex, pushing intoxication, when you make people slaves. And of course, you know, you don't have to be a palmist or an astrologer to see that. The point is that when people become more agrarian oriented, they start farming, they're going to become more grounded, they're going to become a lot more in touch with the earth. They're going to, you know, previous cultures thousands of years ago, they were much more God conscious. They were aware of the natural laws in nature, because they were connected with the earth. They were connected with that. We live in such an artificial society. And the interesting thing is that these reptilians are controlling us through the agency of technology and this type of thing. So when we become less technologically savvy and more land savvy, the average American is going to become the point is that we're going to become a proud people again. There's no question about this. You know, there's no question that we are going to become a strong people. America is going to become a country again that's going to be strong. The other thing that I see is that our spirituality will become stronger. I mean, like I said before, the future always foreshadows itself. And we're seeing that everywhere I go, you know, people are into yoga. I remember, John, just like 10 years ago, if I saw a new palmistry book, I was going, oh, my God, a new palmistry book. Now, you know, every 6 months, a new palmistry book comes out. They're not very good, but at least, you know, there's some hope there, you know. In other words, it used to be in the 80s, I would say, hey, I'm a palmist. And people say, a what? And in the 90s, they were saying, well, that's an interesting career. And now they're saying, hey, how do I become a palmist? In other words, what I'm seeing across, you know, our society is that not only are we going to become more agrarian and we're going to become more earth-based, we are also going to really, really strongly get into our spirituality. We're going to become strong in that way. And this is what the New World Order have destroyed. You destroy the family, you destroy the spirituality. And to continue on with your question, one of the aspects of destroying the family is that what was very strong in America, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, was that, or just what makes any society strong is that you have the kids living with the parents are, and you have the grandkids, and you have the aunts and the uncles and the in-laws and the outlaws. You have everybody, and this makes the kids strong. It makes everybody strong. And we're going to go back to that. The nuclear family is on its way out. If we are actually going into an agrarian society, because the next period we go through is a moon period, and that's going to last the next period we go into is for the entire, you know, what I see in America anyway, we go into a Mercury period, but the point is that's going to last a while. And if you have an agrarian based society, you have to have kids. You have to have, you know, strong kids, upstanding kids. You have to take care of your relatives. So, you know, we're going to go back to that. This period of, like, the nuclear family, the destruction of the family, the destruction of the morals and the values and the drug taking, it's going to end. And, you know, it's also going to be very, very strong in people's minds that, my God, you know, we went through this period in America where, yeah, everybody was on some drug. Illicit sex was rampant. Intoxication was everywhere. Gambling, untruthfulness. You know, this is actually going to be for our purification. I guarantee you, as a palmist, I'm seeing this. Americans are going to get their freedom back. It's going to take some time, but it's going to happen.
It's amazing. It really is. Well, now, if you've determined by looking at that, did you see that photo I sent you?
I did.
Now, if you're going to reveal Wells is actually a reptilian, I'll take those comments off air, okay? Because I don't think I'm a reptilian.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
But I'm the only palm that you... Okay, all right. Well, that's the only palm you have to read that I know of. That's the only palm you have to read, the one I sent you, other than your own.
Do you want me to read it on air, or do you want me to, you know, you want me to do it off air?
Well, unless it's strange.
No, it's there's some really strong stuff in there. So, you know, it's up to you.
Well, let her rip. Just try not to mortify me. We'll give it about 2 minutes, then we'll take some calls.
Okay. All right. Well, one thing I do want to mention to you is I want you to understand that if you express your feelings a lot, you'll be more content, more satisfied. Your goal is to be less British and more Italian.
Okay.
In other words, right. Don't hide your feelings. Don't stuff your feelings. And I'm talking about this in your, let's say, your personal relationship or your relationship with your good friends. Express your feelings. Talk about your feelings. Show your feelings. Don't be emotionally reserved. Don't be self-contained. I'm not saying you should always wear your heart on your sleeve, because that's not you either. But the point is that you need relationships in your life where you're able to be on the same page with people and not shut you down emotionally. So if it doesn't mean you have to express emotions to everybody around you, but there is an emotional romantic in you, you do need that loving reciprocation from the opposite sex, and you do need a lot of attention and reciprocation. But the other aspect is reciprocal. You're willing to give it. If you feel happy, you'll be able to give it. The other thing I see here, which is strong on your palm, and of course, you know, you're doing this type of work, so it's not so surprising, but I do [S2] Yes. [S1] See a little bit of the public advocate within you. There's a very strong need to educate the public. I mean, there is a little bit of a Ralph Nader in you in some respect, but on the social reform aspect, more of the social reform, I think that you're going to get into a little bit more public advocacy. That's going to be your direction. Public education, you're a crusader. You're a guy who you know, feels strongly about something and you want to say something about it. So in that respect, I hate to use this word because it was used on, you know, John McCain, but you are a maverick in that respect.
Yes, but, I've straightforwarded myself right out the door on a number of occasions.
But that's,
I'm still trying to figure out how you knew I was British and Italian. That's interesting. Very interesting. All right, that's enough of that, all right? Thank you very much. I would very much like to talk with you off air, but this is just a little bit, for it, and you delivered. Yes. Tell you what, let's talk to Allison in Colorado. She is most assured, well, she might be right on the Rockies, so let's talk to Allison if she's there.
Hi, Allison.
No Allison.
Hi.
No, there she is. Bless you. Welcome.
Thank you. First time caller, long time listener, and I am passionate about astrology myself. And my two questions are: one, what do you have to say about this Mars effect on the upcoming election? And two, what planet will come into the forefront when the Mars 7-year itch, let's call it, recedes?
Did you understand what she was saying, Vernon?
Yes, I did. The first thing I definitely will say to you that it does look in Obama's hand that he will be selected. Notice I didn't say elected, but yes, he will be selected for the next 4 years, unfortunately. I've been looking at his hands a lot over the internet. You know, I always look for those pictures where the waving to the crowd, things where they open up their hand, and you can see politicians' hands all the time. Paul must always search the internet for everything from the Globe or the Inquirer to all over the news. So it's easy to see these people's palms. Having said that, he's going to be selected. But the interesting thing is that I can see right now he is an exhausted man. His nervous system is gone. We may see him laughing and chuckling and doing all his devious deeds and lying to us. And he was born in Kenya. He is not an American citizen. There's no.
Wait. Vernon.
What?
You're going to get a fatwa put on me or something with that stuff.
Well, no. You're asked. She asked me. But, all right, we won't talk about that. But the point is that we may be seeing less and less and less of him in the media simply because he is his nervous system is shot, and it's
going. The poor man's hair is turning gray. He's almost gray all over his head in 3 years.
What I know from my astrological teachings in India is that if a leader, whether they're a mayor, political figure, whatever, if they're taking public service, any job of public service, they have to take 1/6 of the karma of their constituents, good and bad. So if they're doing bad stuff, sending poor kids into war and the vaccines and all this kind of stuff, they have to take 1/6 of that karma. One thing about astrology and the Vedic aspect is that it's kind of like they teach you that it's kind of like Newton's law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, we should not, the point is don't hate these so-called leaders. The point is that they're going to get theirs. These leaders that have put us through so much war and so much difficulty and struggle, they're going to be born in their next lives. Every time, if you send someone into an irreligious or an unrighteous war, and you have people killed for no other reason than drugs and lithium and like this, or to protect your interests, you're going to be killed in your next life for every single person that you sent into war in a disingenuous way. So this is why politicians age so quickly. Look at Blair. He was a very, very good looking dude before he became a young looking guy, and look how aged he looks. This is because this is what we call in Vedic astrology V karma. He has to take on all the sinful reactions that he's put people through. So what to speak of all these guys like the Bushes and the Cheneys and all that? They have to take all this heavy karma that they put people through. In the aspect of Vedic astrology is called Jyotish, and it's Jyotish means the science of light or the science of the divine life purpose. And one of the things that they teach in astrology is that, like I say, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If you do good, you're going to get good. If you do bad, you're going to suffer. And because these people have so much power and influence in their next life, they're going to have hell to pay. Now, they don't know that because they do not know the laws, the natural laws of nature. They do not believe in God. They do not believe in goodness. And yet they're going to have to suffer greatly for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. So this is the position of someone who does what I do. We have to, the astrologer, the palmist, if they're trained correctly, they understand why it is important to live a life of goodness, a life of love and trust and affection in their personal life, and in their professional life. They have to be upstanding citizens. They have to be people who have values and morals, and even idealism and visionary spirits.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, why do people seem to, when you say you need to live a good life, you need to live a life of goodness and kindness to others, why does that produce such a, that sounds so boring, kind of a reaction in people? I mean, they just sort of run from it like, oh, brother, you're trying to turn me into a goody two-shoes here. I don't want to do it. I want to be my rebellious Bucky self. I'm not doing it. What do you think it is in the human nature that makes people react that way to it?
Our standard, our enjoyments have to be in the mode of goodness. In other words, if people think that illicit sex and drugs and drinking, this is enjoyment, this is a symptom of a demonic society. But this is what the reptilians have perpetrated on us. This is why they can control us so well. The point is that, you know, goodness means to have good relationships, you know, with your neighbor, to love your kids, to ultimately love God. Goodness means to work in the material world, but don't be attached to it. Goodness is about being devotional with people and situations around you. Being good means it's not what you do, it's what kind of a person you are. And this is an aspect of astrology or palmistry. We have been led down, you know, people tend to follow their leaders. And because our leaders are so bad, people tend to follow them. People are generally innocent. But because our leaders are so are criminal for so many, many years, it's not just the Bushes and the Obamas. It's been going on for so long. Living a good life is actually very joyous. Living a good life means playing sports and having lots of good food and being able to run in the country with beautiful air, being able to know your neighbors, being able to have music in your own community, not having to go to just a show somewhere. In other words, goodness is being lost from our society.
Understood. Would you mind sticking around a little bit past the top of the hour and just take a couple more calls and kind of wrap this up, because we burn up 2 hours, and be nice if you'd hang out for a little while longer if you have the time?
Of course, I'd love to.
Excellent. We will return with Vernon Mahabal when we return on Coast to Coast AM.